Chapter 12, Resonance. The most important thing to realize is that people are born without ear lids. Tony Schwartz. When I got my first guitar, my Aunt Sue made a point of teaching me how to tune it. It felt like we spent an hour on it, which for a kid is a freaking lifetime. Aunt Sue reassured me that tuning the strings was an important part of making sure the guitar sounded clear when I played. The other part was finger positioning. If my fingers weren't placed properly on the frets, if I didn't apply enough pressure to the strings, they wouldn't resonate properly, or they'd be out of tune, both of which make for a painful listening experience. I was no stranger to tuning an instrument. I'd played clarinet and saxophone for a few years by then, and I knew how to match my pitch to the tuner. But this was an entirely different experience. In case you've never tuned a guitar to itself, you begin by positioning your finger on a string, then you pluck it, and the one next to it, at the same time. You adjust the tension on one string to bring the pitches into unison, and then continue with each pair of adjacent strings until you've tuned all of them. When a pair of strings is out of tune, you'll hear a pulsing wave of dissonance, whoa, 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 which is the difference in frequency between one string and the other. As you get closer to perfect tuning, the pulsing disappears, and the two strings sound like one. That's resonance. Just like a well-tuned guitar, your business needs resonance with your right audience. That's a core component of raving fans, a resonant audience. It's the difference between making sweet music together and the nails on a chalkboard feeling of brand dissonance. The good news is that there are only three strings, if you will, that need tuning. They are the first three elements of the Raving Fans framework, and you've already done a good bit of work on them if you've done the assignment so far. The bad news, if there can be any, is that this chapter takes you deeper into creating and maintaining resonance inside your brand. So if you felt stuck at the high-level overview of the last chapter, or if you wanted to get more granular on this work, then this chapter is for you. The first string of resonance, you. The entire first section of this book has been about getting clearer on who you really are and what really matters to you. This wasn't an exercise in selfishness, because as a creative entrepreneur, what matters to you often matters to your raving fans as well. They care about what you care about. That said, they won't care about everything you care about, and they may not care about the same specifics that you care about. For example, if you care about making enough money from your great work to leave your day job, your audience probably doesn't care about that. But they might care about the sense of freedom that comes from being able to leave your day job. That less specific, more universal theme of freedom is about both you and your audience. That's resonance. Where do you find these themes? There are three places I routinely point my clients. Your creative freedom entrepreneur type, and its common blind spots and ninja skills. How you best show up in the world, your presence, voice, and platforms of choice. Your filters and priorities in life and work. These three areas often contain enough universally understood themes that your audience can understand and identify with to create content that is both personal and applicable to a wide enough group of people to create resonance. Your creative type. We've already covered your type in a previous chapter, and those traits and skills are something people can identify with easily. As a chaotic, your go-with-the-flow nature might make you flexible, and it can also get you in trouble with deadlines. Linears can celebrate the plans and strategies they've developed and own the truth of how they can be too rigid or demanding at times. Fusions can fist bump their audience when they launch a new product into the world and still reflect on the level of perfectionism that drove them to procrastinate on their launch in the first place. Nobody is perfect. Sharing those small vulnerabilities along with the wins are often a way to connect more closely with your audience and create resonance. Our raving fans often aspire to be like us, and sometimes even liked by us. So it's not uncommon for them to try to put themselves in our shoes. Showing up too perfectly makes it hard for them to do that. Previous chapters have covered a bit of the creative type, so let's use this space to focus on the other areas. Presence, voice, and platform. Like the McDonald's bathroom fiasco, your raving fans and resonant audience will come to expect a certain level of consistency from you in how you present yourself to the world. I've been the host of Creative Freedom for several years now, and my audience has an expectation that they'll be able to find me there. There's also an expectation of informality and approachability that I've worked hard to maintain. It's easy for me to get intellectual and use $2 words that fly over the heads of my audience, and yet, big words are part of who I am, so I have to practice using them judiciously, in a way that allows my inner nerd a chance to shine while keeping it approachable for the audience I'm building. As a coach and business consultant, I want my raving fans to feel like I'm their best friend and that I'll never make them feel inferior about what they don't know. As a performing artist, I want my raving fans to feel like I'm their friend and also their guide, like I'm speaking for them when their voice fails and that I've got their back even though I'm not perfect at it. My girl next door / action hero approach is a conscious brand choice. I am much more MacGyver than Bristow. There are days when I glam up and days when I dress down, but I do my best to stay consistent when I'm in the public eye. I use the same words over and over. Howdy, sunshine. Dude, hell nah. In blessings and peace. Own your dreams without selling your soul. Noble empire. Inspired life. These are just a few of the word choices I've made part of my brand vocabulary. In choosing to use them consistently, they become identified with me and my company. They become part of my brand. But it's not just the words you use. It's the platform, how you present yourself. Lady Gaga is known for her outrageous costumes. Pink is known for her pink hair. Bill Gates is known for his glasses and nerdy demeanor, while Steve Jobs took a more casual, informal approach with his signature black mock turtleneck and jeans. To be clear, something else I say a lot, this takes time and practice. Consistency. You don't show up one day with pink hair and an outrageous costume and call yourself a rock star. In fact, Steve Jobs started his business life as a suit and tie wearing guy. It wasn't until his return to Apple after his ousting that he donned his signature look. It wouldn't be an episode of Creative Freedom if I didn't sing something a little comical at the opening of the episode. Every episode is connected to a song as both a means of demonstrating my own ability, as well as giving my viewers a mnemonic device to reinforce the lessons of the episode. They may not remember a single episode on its own, but when they hear the song from the episode playing on the radio, they'll recall something, which is the whole point of the series. And yes, you can be consistent at being inconsistent. The key, again, is the unifying theme. Madonna is known for reinventing herself, and yet her unifying theme is always one of empowerment. Lily Tomlin built a career out of being a character, and yet many of her best-known characters are flighty, kooky, and not perfectly put-together people. This is how you hone your voice, with practice, patience, and consistency. Like tuning those guitar strings, sometimes you have to keep pulling the strings over and over to get closer to resonance each time. Sometimes you'll overcorrect and go out of tune in a different direction. But if you keep at it, that's the practice part, you'll find resonance. Your platform is also an important consideration. If you show up one day on social media, the next week on video, and the next on a radio show, you're making it hard for your audience to know where to find you. If you go to the same restaurant regularly, order the same meal or beverage consistently, eventually you build a reputation and the servers know what you mean when you say, "I'll have the usual." But you can't walk in on day one and expect them to know what the usual is because you've never been there before. I encourage most of my clients to start with one platform, maybe two. Fusions get a little more wiggle room here, but only if they can confidently maintain multiple platforms. One social media outpost, a personal platform like a blog or website, and a mailing list device to keep in contact with your growing audience. Pick one of those things and nurture like crazy. As I write this chapter, I currently have the following platforms: 5 social media outposts, 1 video channel, a blog, an email list, multiple guest post and interview outlets, guest spots at other people's events and stages. But I didn't start here. I had a blog. I wrote regularly and eventually got up the nerve to cultivate a mailing list. Then came Facebook. I found it confusing and overwhelming, so I jumped to Twitter. I stayed with those 3 outlets for about a year before I pulled Facebook back in. I had a short-lived MySpace page because musicians were supposed to, but I couldn't keep up with it, so I ditched it. You won't like every new platform that comes along, and you shouldn't feel compelled to do it just because it seems like everyone is there. Be willing to experiment and make sure you have the bandwidth to manage it. Or get help. I now have a staff member that helps to craft and schedule marketing posts for some of my social media platforms. And while I still do a lot of the heavy lifting myself, because being present and accessible is part of my brand reputation, I make the best use of my time by relying on my team when it's appropriate. Your filters and priorities. If you've been listening to yourself about what really matters, then you'll be able to use those ideas as filters through which you'll say yes or no to opportunities that arise. For example, I had a client, Pam, who knew that the most important thing to her was having a happy family. Professionally, she was on track to grow her career as an inspirational speaker and author, but she knew that her priority of having a happy family meant being home as much as possible. So if an opportunity to speak at an out-of-state event came her way, Pam would often decline the invitation, or she charged a premium fee. She knew that not being able to come home at the end of the night would cause extra financial and emotional strain, which did not contribute to her overarching goal, a happy family. Pam focused on what mattered most to her, and she's meeting her goals on her terms. She was able to accomplish what many creatives never do because they don't allow themselves to want what they want and use their creativity to achieve it. As of this writing, Pam is doing work that she loves that allows her to be home with her family most nights. It also provides enough free time to pursue her creative gifts on her own terms without putting stress or financial pressure on her to make it work in a short period of time. She may not be a household name yet, but Pam is one of the happiest, most successful creatives I know. The second string of resonance. Why? This is where I come into alignment with Simon Sinek to a degree. He's often quoted for saying, "People don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it." That's mostly true. Let me explain. See, I don't really care about why Jeff Bezos gets up in the morning. I also don't care why Amazon offers free 2-day shipping for Prime members. I do care that it's a benefit of being a Prime member, but in the bigger picture, I do care that Amazon is trying to reduce its carbon footprint by giving me the option to consolidate my shipments, especially since they're passing the savings along to me in the form of a credit towards a future purchase. Amazon has given me a reason to care about what they care about by relating their goals to my own. Your resonant audience cares about your why as it relates to them, which is an important distinction. You may have an incredibly compelling motivation for the work that you do that's only compelling to you. That won't create resonance. But if you can find the universal themes of your business, as you did for your own personal themes, then you can take resonance to a deeper level. Where do you find these points of resonance? Here are the three areas I often invite my clients to look at for inspiration. Your company origin story. Your company turning point or phoenix story. Your heroic brand story. Oftentimes these stories can overlap, but let's take them one at a time so you can see the structures and build your own. Your company origin story. Origin stories are part of the founding mythology of your company. They often incorporate elements of your personal struggles and vision, as well as the early startup stories of your company. Even if you've been a creative entrepreneur for decades, each iteration of your business has an origin story. Sharing it helps reveal what your company stands for, as well as inform your raving fans about the future direction of your business. One entrepreneur I know told the story of how she worked like a dog as a copywriter in an office where the guys were pulling in as much in a week as she made in a year. Part of her origin story was the night that she was invited to hang out with friends and went to the ATM for some cash. She had about $18 in her account and couldn't enjoy the evening because of it. She vowed then and there she wouldn't be in that position again. That moment was the springboard for her marketing communications company. It was also a turning point in her career. Your turning point / phoenix story. I've yet to work with an entrepreneur who stayed on the same path their entire career. They may exist, but I haven't met them yet. Typically, creatives are on a path and something happens that causes a turning point that moves them in a new direction. Remember Tai Chi? She was living a life that many would consider glamorous and fabulous, but for her it was miserable. Her turning point came when she opted out of the music machine of her home country and moved to the United States, which set her on an entirely new journey. Another version of this is the phoenix story, your story of rising from the ashes. Think of the classic rags to riches stories, or the modern twist, riches to rags to riches again. These are the stories of vulnerability that show our raving fans that we're human. Consider the welfare mom who, in a single year, amassed a huge online following and created nearly $1 million in revenue. That's Kimra Luna's rags-to-riches origin story, and her Freedom Hackers community deeply resonates with her no-excuses message of overcoming obstacles and living your dreams. They aspire to her level of success and look to her for wisdom, guidance, and the occasional kick in the pants to stay the course on their dreams. Along the way, Kimra's had her ups and downs, which are what shape your heroic brand story. Your heroic brand story. Joseph Campbell's seminal work on the heroic journey provides a useful framework that you can apply to the stories of your own business. They can include both your origin and Phoenix stories, but typically these are the up and down adventures of your company. Like the time in my own business where I tried to launch a live event and it was a total flop. The lessons from that failure taught me more about finding resonance with my right audience than most of my successes. If all we ever do is celebrate our successes, we miss the learning and growth opportunities that make us better. Take Harry Potter, for example. How many times did he get it wrong before he got it right? Sitting in Dolores Umbridge's office, writing sentences that were painfully and magically etched into his flesh? That's not the sign of someone who's winning the game. In fact, Harry is the classic reluctant hero. He didn't want to have the attention, the adulation, or bear the responsibility of saving the magical world, and he was far from perfect at doing it. In fact, were it not for some of his more capable friends, he might have died before the end of the first book. Yet, it is those very trials and tribulations that draw us in and help us fall in love with Harry, the boy wizard who saves the world with a little help from his many friends. As you read the heroic journey of Mike Michalowicz across his many books, you learn how he moved his family into a senior living center, made millions of dollars before he was 35, and then lost it all because of his arrogance. You also learn how he had short-lived stints on television and eventually rebuilt his business by helping other entrepreneurs avoid the pitfalls of his own mistakes and showing them a better path to profitability. What are the ups and downs of your own career? What are the battles you've fought, the scars and blisters you've gotten from the journey of sharing your great work with the world? What are the big wins? And more importantly, how do all those ups and downs relate to your raving fans? When you can answer that question, you're one step closer to resonance. The third string of resonance, who? One of the reasons that knowing your heroic journey is so important is because it's often a mirror for your raving fans. They too have a heroic journey of their own. And while they are the Harry Potter of their story, you are their guide. You're the Dumbledore to their Harry, the Yoda to their Luke Skywalker, the Lady Gaga to their little monster, if you will. You've already tread the path and learned the lessons, and your raving fans are coming to you to get your perspective, your insight, and often to shorten their own learning curve. In exchange for their time, money, and attention, you're gifting them with your wisdom and guidance. You're making their lives better. The Harry Potter approach for creating your offers. Because J.K. Rowling wrote so many books in the Harry Potter series, it makes for a great analogy to developing your business offerings if you run a problem-focused business. Think of the different books in the Harry Potter series. In each book, there was a major obstacle to overcome that became the theme for the specific book, the Philosopher's Stone, the Chamber of Secrets, and so on. Inside each book, however, there were a series of smaller obstacles, learning to make friends and knowing who to trust, how to stand on your own and build your confidence, etc. Each of these smaller obstacles were important milestones on the journey to overcoming the major obstacle of the book. Had Harry not learned how to make friends and trust them, he couldn't have trusted Ron with the game of real-life wizard's chess that allowed him to find the Philosopher's Stone. If Harry Potter isn't in your consciousness, you'll see similar parallels in any number of films and television shows where there's a story within a story that adds to the complexity of the characters. In Star Wars, Luke had to learn to trust the Force in order to defeat the Death Star. Luke then had to find Yoda to master the Force and fight his own father in The Empire Strikes Back. But he didn't win, so he had to battle Jabba the Hutt and round up his friends for the final showdown that happens in Return of the Jedi. Likewise, your own raving fans have these internal stories that are playing out in their lives. What are their sticking points? What are the lessons they need to learn on their own journey before they can progress to the next stages of development? What's their Philosopher's Stone or Chamber of Secrets? And how do you come alongside them and help them reach their goal? When you can pinpoint these points in their journey and speak to them in your great work, you've struck a chord in their hearts and minds. That's resonance. Begin with the end in mind. If you're not in the business of problem solving, it may seem impossible to you to apply this approach to crafting your own offers. So here's another take. As a creative, your great work may be less about solving a problem or a pain and simply focused on making someone's life better, or even better in the case of luxury goods. For example, Lady Gaga's not in the business of solving problems. She's a performing artist and songwriter. Yet her song Born This Way is one of the best-selling singles of all time, not because of the catchy beat, which is alarmingly similar to Madonna's hit Express Yourself, but because the lyrics speak to the universal themes of freedom and self-acceptance, something that makes your life better. In a 2011 interview for Billboard magazine, Lady Gaga explained it thus, quote, "I want to write my This Is Who the Fuck I Am anthem, but I don't want it to be hidden in poetic wizardry and metaphors. I want it to be an attack, an assault on the issue, because I think, especially in today's music, everything gets kind of washy sometimes, and the message gets hidden in the lyrical play. It's not about the track. It's about the song. Anyone could sing Born This Way. It could have been anyone." End quote. This sense of universal appeal is what gives your great work resonance with your raving fans. It's also how to give it a life that extends beyond you. Rowling's Harry Potter series was so popular that the New York Times had to create a category for children's books so that someone else had a chance to make their bestseller list. Rowling's universal themes of overcoming obstacles, good versus evil, and doing your best despite your flaws were ideas that millions of readers, young and old, could resonate with. Her ability to tell these stories in a complex magical world that felt very real to the reader made it even easier for her raving fans to resonate with every chapter, every journey, and every obstacle her characters faced. As you consider your own great work, what are the universal themes that stand out? Are there values and beliefs that your company stands for that are represented in your great work? Do you share that information with your audience? If not, you could be missing out on an opportunity to connect more deeply with your raving fans and create long-term resonance. Your assignment. Review the questions inside this chapter and look for ways you can experiment with or create more organic resonance with your audience. Commit to one resonance activity for the next 30 days and stay consistent, tracking your results so that you can make an informed decision next month about where to put your focus. Celebrate now and in 30 days when you've completed your resonance activity. Heck, celebrate each time you do it. Celebrate the journey, not just the destination.